Hear these words from Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." Would you pray with me? Oh, holy God, we have entered into this place in all kinds of states of mind and states of hearts. And yet in this moment, we are reminded that we are standing on holy ground in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we can do nothing more than say, "Woe, woe is me. For I am unclean, for I am unworthy." And then we hear your response. "Oh, I will make you clean. I have called you worthy." And so with humble hearts, we bow down. And with strong faith, we cry out. Join those angels in worshiping you, our God. And we prepare to hear you say once again, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for me?" And Father God, by the time we leave this place today, would you help us be the ones who stand and say, "Here am I. Here am I, God. Send me." This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and such a mighty storm came upon the sea that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried to his God. They threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. Jonah, meanwhile, had gone down into the hold of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. The captain came and said to him, "What are you doing sound asleep? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps the God will spare us a thought so that we do not perish." Would you pray with me? Father God, in these moments as we turn to your word, would you help us be fully present to what it is you want to say to us? We ask that your spirit might move freely to help us hear what it is you want us to hear, so you might help us be what it is you want us to be, and so you might help us do what it is you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This month, I invite you all to join with me as we take a little journey to the sea, because it's summertime. And what better thing to do in summertime than go on trips together and a trip to the sea? I pray that this summer will be a summer of rest for us. I know we're tired. I pray it'll be a summer of renewal for sure. But most of all, I pray that this summer will be a summer of spiritual growth for each and every one of us. That's what it's all about after all. So for this next few weeks, we're going to look to Jonah as his story will lead us in what we're calling our summer at sea. The story starts like this. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Jonah receives a call from God. It's a call just for him to give a specific message to a specific people. The place is Nineveh, the people enemies to the Hebrews, that's Jonah and his people. The message is a simple one: return to the Lord, for God is broken over their wickedness. This calling was totally orchestrated by God and given directly to Jonah. Notice it wasn't the outcome of some mutual conversation between them. God never asked Jonah what he most wanted to do in his life to be fulfilled. No, God just called to the people and the place and the work that God had for Jonah to do. And God knew that that calling would be for the good of all. He wasn't just being mean to Jonah. He knew it would be for his good too, if Jonah would but let God move. My friends, please hear this morning. It's simple, but profound. You have a calling. You do. You have a calling. That means you follow a God who is alive and near and in love with you. And in this love, this God is always, always calling you to something that will grow you and that will bless them. You have a calling. There is something in your life today, that God wants to do. There is. And there is some place that God wants to lead you. And there is some area where God wants to heal you. And there is some work that God wants to give to you. You have a calling. God puts a tug on your heart that you can't not feel. And God puts a little whisper in your ear that you can't not hear. You have a calling. I've said it 3 times. I could say it again until you have a calling. You do. Because you serve a God who loves you and who wants to share his heart with you and wants to share his heart through you. Do you know what your calling is today? Not do you know what your calling was some years back, but what is the fresh thing that God is doing in you here and now? Can you name the most recent things that God has been stirring up in you in this very season of life? Maybe for some, God's calling is for you to step away from addiction and into the freedom of being sober and clean. Maybe your calling currently is to a relationship in your life that needs to be reconciled. God's stirring up in you this nudge towards forgiveness. Maybe it's stepping into a new ministry for some. Something you've been thinking about for a while, but dragging your feet for one reason or another. Maybe it's something radical with your finances. Maybe it's opening up your home to a child who needs a place to land. Maybe starting a new career path. Maybe it's really letting yourself be known. Maybe it's something totally different than any of these, but there is something. There is. Only you know the ways that God is calling you into deeper and deeper waters with Him. I ask, what's your calling today? What's He doing in your life that is fresh and new these days? And if you've got no idea, if you're like, I don't know, I just have a simple question. Have you taken time recently to just step aside and ask God what's on His heart for you? When's the last time you asked that question? Because he wants to let you know. He's not trying to hide. And in asking that question, have you listened carefully to His response? Because you see, we can't grow in God if we are not actively seeking to know the heart of God. You've got a calling. When's the last time you asked God what that calling might be? Some things to keep in mind about calling as we're trying to figure out what ours is. God does the asking, not us. So often we tend to approach calling like a high school career fair. And it's like there's this big wall of brochures and we go and we pick one up and we read over the expectations and then decide if it's for us or not. There's that brochure over there for wiggle time. We pick it up. It says miss part of worship ever so often and hang out with 5 to 8-year-olds instead. No thanks. What else is there? There's the homebound ministry. Visit people who can't come to church in their home. Oh, sounds kind of awkward. What else is there? A foster parent. Oh, that's too demanding. What else is there? Move to Africa. That's too exotic. What else is there? Oh, there's the brochure that says, just keep doing whatever you want and just throw some Jesus in ever so often. That's more like it. Sign me up for that one, please. Calling is not a career fair. It is not an interview between us and God where God tells us some options and we tell God what we would really like to give in return. No. God called Jonah to the place God picked for Jonah, to the people God chose for Jonah, with the message that God wanted to be delivered by Jonah. Jonah didn't get to pick his top 3 choices. He didn't get to write out all of his interests and compare those with God's needs and see where they best came together. No, God just called how God wanted to call. And Jonah just got to say yes or no. I'm in or I'm out. Simple as that. You have a calling. It's from God. We accept it. Or we don't. What more? Calling is not a one-time thing. It's not like you followed God's call for your life back when you were 20-something, and so now you're set. Jonah's call to Nineveh in this story is only part of the story of Jonah. It's only a snapshot into his life, a handful of months or years at best. Nineveh isn't the only place God ever called Jonah. It isn't the only thing God ever did through Jonah. When I was 16, I knew without a doubt that God was calling me to foreign missions. And I pursued that call with all my heart. And as a 20-something living on the mission field, doing what I knew God had asked me to do, God began stirring in my heart this new calling to be a pastor. And that was a calling that terrified me way more than sharing Jesus with Muslims, because church people can be mean. And I've been pouring out my heart into this call to pastor for 10 years now. I put a lot of time and money into education to be the best pastor I can be. I even told God, you can send me anywhere you want, maybe not Nebraska, but anywhere you want. And surprise, he said, Belfair, here it is. And people ask me all the time, are you going to stay in Belfair for a long time? And all I can say in honest response to that, which is what I hope you'd want me to say, is I will be in Belfair until the day God calls me elsewhere. It could be 30 minutes. It could be 30 years. Because this I know, our God is always calling. We don't follow God once and call it good and then ride that wave the rest of our lives. No, every day, every season, there is something more God is wanting to do in us. There is something new, somewhere new, that God is wanting to take us. And there may be a real day in my life, there's already been plenty up until now, where I was as comfortable and happy as I could be in the ministry God put me in. And when God steps in and says, Jamie, there's a new Nineveh I've got for you. And if that happens, I must go. You wouldn't want me to stay. And it won't surprise you if that happens, because you're living the same life. And you're letting God surprise you with new callings every day too. This is what we do as the people of God together. But if this is the place for decades and decades to come, I know that God will be calling me to new places every season just the same. Just this week, I got away in the woods where there was no cell service. A little quiet before the chaos of summer 2019. And God in that space kept showing me places in my own heart that still need to grow up in love. Places where I still need to kill the ego. Places where I still need to trust being known. Because you see, God's calling me, even here and even now, to new, deeper places with him always. And God's calling you. Because God calls our whole lives long. Every day and every season, wherever you are, God's calling you. What's God doing in your life that's new these days? That's growing you in this very season right now? How does your walk with God today look different than it did a year ago? I hope it does. Because God's always calling. The question is, are we always moving with that call? What more about calling? Sometimes God calls us to things that thrill us. And sometimes God calls us to places we don't particularly want to go and to things we don't really want to do. Henry Nouwen gives this compelling picture of spiritual maturity, how we know we've really grown up in God. You know that very last chapter in the Gospel of John? After Peter's denied Jesus 3 times and Jesus is resurrected from the dead and he's serving them breakfast. You know this one? And on the shore of the sea, Jesus asked Peter 3 times. Remember the question? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? 3 times Peter says, yes, Jesus, I love you. Yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. We all say it. Yes, God, I love you. And sometimes we end the story there. But the story ends with this. Jesus looks Peter in the eyes. And he says, Peter, when you're older, I will lead you places you don't want to go. The words between the lines. When you follow me there, Peter, your love for me will be for real. Sometimes God calls us to those things we already love anyway. And sometimes God calls us to those places we really don't want to go. To those people we really don't want to love. To that work within ourselves we really don't want to face. when we follow him there, oh, then it will be for real. Then our love for him, the maturity in our life with him will be for real when we follow him there to those places we don't necessarily want to go. I ask, when's the last time you did something in response to God's calling in your life that you know you would never have done otherwise? And if we can't think of a thing, or if it's been a bit too long, just know this. We just still have some growing up to do. And God will keep calling even still. You have a calling. Something God wants to do in your life, with your life, through your life, here and now. What's it for you? Try to honestly answer that in your heart. Here's what Jonah did when he was called. But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Jonah was called by God, and Jonah got busy fleeing from God, going in the exact opposite direction of where he knew God was leading. We all have a calling. And like Jonah, we all know what it is to turn tail and run from it. 3 times in one voice, in one verse, the story says God called Jonah to Nineveh, and Jonah set out for Tarshish. Jonah found a ship to Tarshish. Jonah paid for the ticket to Tarshish, and he got on board. All of this to flee from the presence of the Lord. God asked Jonah to go somewhere he didn't want to go, to share a word of hope with the people he'd rather see perish. And Jonah got busy doing anything but that. You see, Jonah hated the Ninevites. All his people did. And we can judge Jonah for that. Or we can acknowledge that there are some folks in our lives that we'd really rather God not demand we go in love either. I don't know who it is for you, but I bet there's someone who has hurt you enough that you would be happy to never see them again. And you wouldn't mind hearing that they got what they deserved. Little Jonah and all of us. I bet there are some, even in this place, where you could say there's entire people groups that you look down upon, if we're honest with our hearts. People that we decided at some point that we don't like them based on their politics or their religion or just their way of doing things. God, we'll be happy to share your love and your good news among lots of people, among Tarshish kind of people, but it ain't going to happen among those people. There is a little Jonah in all of us. And sometimes when God calls us to people that we don't want a thing to do with, we do the same thing. We pick up our stuff and we run the other way. Pouring into people that we pick and choose and crossing our fingers that God let this be good enough. What are the other reasons that we flee from God's call? That thing that you know God's been stirring in your heart. What's been holding you back up until now? Maybe we just numb ourselves with work and busyness, filling all those spaces in our lives from top to bottom and from left to right, so that when we are asked what's God's call for us, the truth is we haven't even really thought about that in months. We flee from God's call when we make ourselves too busy to even hear it. And too entangled to have the freedom to respond to it. Why else do we flee? Lies of inadequacy. Every time we feel a nudge from God, it's followed by that voice that says, "You? Yeah, right. Can't do that." If those voices that tell you you're never going to cut it are the things you say are keeping you from God's calling, answer me this, my friends. Name one person in this entire story of Scripture who, whenever God called them, said, "Finally, God, finally, you see the gifts that I have in me. Finally, you've seen my great potential, God. Thank you. I've been waiting for that." There's not one. Every single person, when called in Scripture, said, "Gulp." What? Me? Moses? God, have you noticed that I stutter? How about my brother? He'd be better at that revolution stuff. David, the little guy out in the field. The next king? Yeah, right. Isaiah, I'm a man of unclean lips. Jeremiah, this calling is too hard, God, that I had never even been born. It's too much for me. You see, the enemy has used that lie of inadequacy to stifle God's people for so very long. If you fall prey to it, it's one of his oldest tricks. We hear the invitation from God to follow him somewhere that he's going to stretch us and grow us. And those lies that sneak in and tell us we're not good enough, they tell us get in the boat and flee from God's presence. Or get this, good church people. We flee when we cover up God's real calling with other things that look good. Hiding from God, even in ministry. If we just busy ourselves with all the good work that we like to do, maybe God won't notice that we're actually ignoring the thing he really wants us to do. You see, we don't know much about Tarshish, but there is this one reference to it in 2 Chronicles 9:21. King Solomon sent off to Tarshish a ship to bring some goods back. And that ship came back with, get this, gold, silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks. Tarshish, the land of gold and peacocks. Beautiful people and beautiful things. You see, Jonah didn't totally quit on God. He was just going to go busy himself doing good work for God in a place that wouldn't challenge him so much. Ministry in a land of peacocks, running from God's presence, hoping he would look important enough, doing all this hand-picked ministry for God to just let him be. Even those ways that we're already serving, we need to bring those before God's heart often and ask honestly, God, is this still where you're calling me? Is this still the place where you most want me? Or am I using this, even this good thing, to run from what you really have for me? That takes guts. That's the questions of maturing faith. You've got a ticket today. Everybody got their ticket? Hold it up. Hold it up. If you need a ticket, I bet we can get some passed around. You've got a ticket in your hand, and you've got a calling in your heart. That means that there is something in your life that God is actively asking you to do with him. Some place to go, some hard work on yourself to engage, some ministry to try out, some relationship to make right, something. You've got a calling. What might it be for you? This ticket. It is your ticket to Tarshish. It symbolizes All those things that keep you from stepping into that great drama that God is unfolding before you. It's all those things in your life that are telling you to just go your own way, to just do it in your own time, to just play it safe, to just wait it out, to just look busy and try and see if God will leave you alone. What's in this ticket for you? What's your Tarshish? What's the place you go to flee from God's calling in your life today? Name it. Put it on this ticket. Name it. Here's the thing with God and Jonah. Jonah's fleeing had real consequences. Real lives were at stake while Jonah was on the run. And each time we dismiss God's call in 2019, real lives are still at stake too. But God never stopped pursuing Jonah. When Jonah got on that ship, he went down as low as he could go, hiding in the bowels, trying to just sleep it off, trying to just wait it out. And there God found him through the voice of the captain saying, "Wake up! Wake up! Aren't you a man of God among us? Do something." Even though he thought he had gone as far from God's presence as possible, God finds Jonah in the pit of that ship saying, "Jonah, I see you, and I am still calling you. You're never too far away. I am still calling you. Here's your ticket to Tarshish. Here it is. You can hold on to it, and you can keep using the same excuses to flee from God's call for the rest of this year or for the rest of your life. You can. Real lives are at stake while we run, but we can still choose to run. Or we can let God find us again, wherever we're hiding. We can let God find us again. And we can tear this ticket to Tarshish up. And we can let go of the excuses that keep us from following God's call. And we can head to our Nineveh. One foot in front of the other. We can step into God's call. Once and for all, or at least today. You've got your ticket to Tarshish. Your permission to run from God's dreams for you. Your way out to play it safe, to do it your way, to not grow anymore, at least just not yet. What will you do? What will you do? Hold on to that ticket or tear it up and journey with your God. You've got a ticket in your hand and you've got a calling in your heart. What will you do? Would you pray with me? Father God, wherever we are today, you've already found us. Whatever it is that we're running from, that we know will lead us into greater depths with you, you're still calling us. You haven't given up on us. And so, Father God, this morning as we come to the table, we remember Jesus stepping into his Nineveh that was our world, following your calling completely and fully at great risk to himself, at the full cost of himself. Following you so that we might live. And as we come to this table and receive of the bread and the cup of the body and the blood, might we do so with tickets torn up willing to follow you just the same. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.